listening to PetLifeRadio.com.
Welcome to Animaltopia on Pet Life Radio. I'm your host, Robert Semro. Thank you for joining us. On today's show, we're going to visit the stars, meet an inventor of a ball that makes dogs want to fly, and finally, we'll meet an organization and dogs that give guidance. We'll be right back with a visit to the Star Eco Station after these messages from our sponsors.
Sit. Stay. We'll be right back after a short pause. Well, four to be exact.
Petco, where the pets go. Petco, where the pets go.
Pet Life Radio has tail wagging, fur flying, fabulous deals for our listeners from Petco. Get $6 off your order of $60 or more and up to 40% off the entire Petco site.
That's right.
But that's not all.
Because you're a Pet Life Radio listener, you'll also get free shipping on your order of $49 or more. $6 off, up to 40% off,
and free shipping
from Pet Life Radio and Petco. To get these awesome deals, go to PetcoDeals.com. That's PetcoDeals.com.
Petco, where the pets go.
I don't make any decisions about who to hire without going to Angie's List first.
You'll find reviews on home repair to healthcare written by people just like you.
With Angie's List, I know who to call, and I know the results will be fantastic.
Angie's List. Who you can trust.
Go to AngiesList.com/best and get 25% off any subscription. That's AngiesList.com/best. B-E-S-T.
Welcome to Bird's Eye View on Pet Life Radio. I am Dr. Lori Hess, here with Dr. Michelle Ravish, and we are both bird and exotic animal veterinarians. We work at the Veterinary Center for Birds and Exotics, an all-bird and exotic pet hospital in Bedford Hills, New York. And this is a show all about birds. It's a Bird's Eye View, and we hope you'll tune in soon.
Every week, on demand, only on PetLifeRadio.com. Let's Talk Pets on PetLifeRadio.com.
Welcome back to Animaltopia on Pet Life Radio. We'll start off today's episode with a trip to an oasis in one of the biggest counties in America. There are unique places in the big cities that allow you to escape to a place where animals are the most important residents, and they are cared for by people who seek only to care for them and educate the public both about the animals and the environment they live in. One such wonderful place exists in Culver City, California, and it's known to Los Angeles County residents as the Star Eco Station. This beacon of animal caring was founded in 1997 by Eric Sr. and Katia Bozzi, along with their children Eric Jr. and Katiana Bozzi. The Star Eco Station is an environmental science museum, an exotic wildlife rescue center, and a haven for endangered and illegally trafficked exotic animals who have been confiscated by the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Services. Some other animals there find their way there by other situations that are all too frequently occurring these days. As our guide, Corey Adolphus, one of the Star Eco Station's caring ambassadors, told us, these animals come to reside there not by any fault of their own.
Each and every one of the animals here at the Eco Station is a rescued animal. There's a few different kinds of ways we end up rescuing. Some of them we have that were privately owned. They were pets that people either could not accommodate anymore for various reasons. Maybe it got too large. Maybe they realized something that didn't fit their lifestyle or potentially something that shouldn't have even been in a pet in the first place. The majority of the animals we get through federal confiscations, through U.S. Fish and Wildlife. People will smuggle these animals. They'll traffic them illegally from one continent to another or one country to another for the pet trade.
Upon arrival to the Star Eco Station, you know that the staff there is devoted to caring for the animals and educating the public. The entire look and feel of the Star Eco Station is wonderfully authentic and engaging. Volunteers, including many talented people from the surrounding Hollywood community, took great pride and care in helping the Star Eco Station transform itself from an empty warehouse into an engaging, unique, and yet authentic experience for the visitors as well as the animal inhabitants. The walls are made to look like the jungle or grasslands or deserts and other native landscapes, depending upon the animal area you are visiting in. Outside of the Star Eco Station, you begin your animal encounter experience with various birds and tortoises. When you check in, you can sign up for a personal tour with one of the experienced and knowledgeable staff guides. They have a great rapport with the animals and an extensive knowledge that is filled with details and interesting tidbits about the animals you are viewing.
One of the best parts of the Eco Station, I feel, is that we try and be as hands-on as possible with our outreach and our education. When you come to the facility and take a tour, whether it's on a field trip, having a birthday party here, or just coming to one of our events that we host monthly, it's a different kind of experience. It's a guided tour. We take people around with a staff person, so not only will the public and the attendees be educated on why the animals are here and different interesting facts, they'll also get an opportunity to see some of the animals outside of the cages, and they'll be able to touch a few of the snakes, possibly a lizard, maybe hold a tarantula.
Visitors to the Star Eco Station are encouraged to experience hands-on lessons in ecology and environmentalism through a breathtaking encounter with rare birds, exotic reptiles, wildcats, and ocean life in a tropical setting. Another unique feature of the Star Eco Station is that it's home to such a wide variety of animals.
Some of the animals that we have here on site at the facility, we've got American alligators, we've got two bobcats, one African serval, which is another smaller cat. We've got boa constrictors, pythons, chameleons, geckos, monitor lizards, turtles, tortoises, tropical fish. We've got our bird paradise filled with different species of macaw, cockatoos, smaller parrots, Amazon parrots.
Environmental partnerships enhance the Star Eco Station with discovery exhibits from organizations such as the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service, the Surfrider Foundation, and the Santa Monica Baykeeper's unique storm drain display, as well as a fun and educational walk-through kelp exhibit. There's so much to see and do at the Star Eco Station that you will find something enjoyable for people of all ages and those who like different types of animals. The educational aspects are done in a fun and informative way that is both positive and memorable. And for those of you wondering if you can really experience something you've never experienced before, on our trip there, we watched as alligators fed merely 5 feet from us. We saw about 300 baby tarantulas that had been seized and given to the Star Eco Station for care. And I can't forget the snakes and birds there come in all sizes and varieties. If you're in the area, I definitely recommend making a visit there and taking the tour. We've all had that pleasure of walking through a zoo. But to have that added experience of having a knowledgeable guide share their knowledge, their passion, and the stories of the animals, and occasionally even taking the animals out of their enclosure for you to touch or hold, well, that's a definite must experience for me. The Star Eco Station's mission is preservation through education. And they definitely carry that mission out. If you want to learn more about the preservation of our environment and the interdependence of all living things, the Star Eco Station is a great place to start. The Star Eco Station has two great locations for you to visit. We visited the location in Culver City in Southern California. They also have a location in the Rockland, Sacramento area of Central California. And for more information on either of them, or about the Eco Station's efforts, you can visit them on the web at starecostation.org. Our next segment is about an animal world inventor. How often have we seen a pet product, or any product for that matter, and said, "That's a great idea, I should have thought of that." Or, "I wonder how they came up with that idea." Or, "How do people go from ideas to having the products in the stores?" Well, we caught up with Justin Hill, the inventor of the popular dog toy, Bird Ball for dogs, and asked him those questions. If you haven't seen this product, it's a plastic ball with carefully designed holes that make the ball whistle when thrown. It also has felt wings to give it that extra something special to grab your dog's attention. You know, bird ball is remarkably fun and entertaining for the dogs as well as their owners. And I asked Justin about his inspiration to create bird ball for dogs.
My dog, Dillinger, basically is the inspiration behind me creating the toy. He is a pit bull shepherd mix, best I know. And he is one of those really, really high energetic dogs. And basically just every day I'd come home from work and he would just be jumping around and really need exercise. And a lot of times I would just be really tired. So I wanted to find a way where I could exercise him where I didn't have to spend a lot of energy. And so I started off taking him to the park and, you know, trying different things. You know, he was definitely into fetch. But I love my dog like he's my kid and, you know, want to give him the best toy that I can give him. And he was really into squeaker toys for a while. I mean, he still is, but I tried bringing squeaker toys to the park thinking that would be a good thing for him to combine one of his favorite toys with fetch. But the problem I was having was that I would throw a ball for him and he would go get it, but then he would just lie down and squeak the toy to death. So it wasn't working, but it did give me an idea that, you know, obviously he's really into sound producing toys, but I wanted him to run, so I thought I would just combine those two things. So that was basically the seed idea for bird ball. I'm going to come up with something that makes noise, but only makes noise when it's in the air, so he has to run for it, rather than something like a squeaky toy where he can just lay down with it and squeak it over and over and again.
I must confess that I have purchased several bird balls, and my dogs, Sugar and Zoe, are bird ball addicts. They really love to go and get them as soon as the ball is thrown and the whistling starts. Boom, they're off in a shot. I really get a kick out of seeing them run after the balls. And I also got to admit, I like hearing the different whistles that it creates each different time. And I asked Justin if he knew that dogs and people would love bird ball as much as he and I do.
There's a lot of dogs out there who would love bird ball because, for one, it's a really fun toy, both for the dogs and for the person who's playing with their dog with it. Basically, it's something that I think is just hardwired into dogs. Dogs, pretty much all dogs that I've ever met, they all like squeaky toys. And I think that all dogs that I've met pretty much like bird ball because it makes a sound that is just one of those things. They have that better sense of hearing, and they really like the tones it makes when you throw it. So you're going to get a dog that is more excited to chase after it. So especially if you have a dog that's overweight, you've had a hard time getting to play fetch with, it's something that is a little bit more incentive for the dog to go after it. If you have a dog that, you know, there's a lot of dogs out there that you'll throw a ball and it's got ADD, it doesn't know you throw the ball. And with bird ball, they always hear the ball being thrown. So the dogs always run after it. They know exactly when and where you threw the ball. And that's a big deal. And plus for the person, it's just fun because every time you throw it, it makes kind of a different sound. So it does keep you engaged as well, depending on how hard you throw it, which way you throw it, whether or not you're throwing it by hand, whether or not you're using a launcher like a chuck hit or some kind of tennis ball launcher. Those things also make a difference in what kind of sound it produces. So it's an engaging toy all around.
I want to thank Justin for that insight on how he created his product and what has made it such a success. You can find more information about Birdball at birdballtoy.com. Also, I want to let you know that if you call or share your Animaltopia stories on our toll-free Animaltopian hotline at 855-264-6258 or 855-ANIMALTOPIANS, you may win a new free bird ball for you and your dog that will ship straight to you. You don't have a story, but you want to enter to win? No problem. Like us on Facebook by searching for Animaltopia. We will choose a random winner and send them one of our favorite dog toys, a brand new bird ball toy. If you've got a great idea for a pet product, there are many ways to make that thought a reality. One of those ways is by visiting the patent and trademark offices on the web to get some great tips about taking your inventions from ideas to the marketplace. You can find them at uspto.gov. When we return, I'll take you to meet a special organization in Oregon that has been saving and changing lives for more than 35 years. And you won't want to miss the story of Nelson, the 2-year-old black lab. We'll be right back after these messages from our sponsors.
Sit, stay. We'll be right back after a short pause. Well, 4 to be exact.
Every pet is unique. Maybe they're gray in the muzzle, yet young at heart.
Maybe they're growing out of the puppy stage and into their paws and ears. Or maybe they're just trying to maintain a more girlish figure. At PetSmart, we have the right food for your pet at a great value for you. PetSmart. Be better together.
Go to PetLifeRadio.com/PetSmart and save up to 30% on toys, collars, leashes, PetSmart gift cards, treats, and more. Go to PetLifeRadio.com/PetSmart today.
Dyson.
The new Dyson Animal Vacs are powerful bagless upright vacuums for homes with pets. Air muscle and radio root cyclone technology generates the strongest suction power to powerfully remove dust, dirt, and pet hair from the home or car. To order your Dyson Animal Vac, go to PetLifeRadio.com/Dyson. PetLifeRadio.com/Dyson to order your Dyson Animal Vac today.
Dyson, music to your ears.
I'm not much of a reader, but I do wish I were more well-read.
There are so many great books coming out. I wish I could find a way to keep up.
Audible.com makes it easy to stay well-informed and catch up on your reading simply by listening. Audiobooks from Audible turn downtime into uptime. You'll be more productive and become well-read.
Now I'm able to catch up on all the great books I've been wanting to read.
With Audible, I feel smarter.
Pet Life Radio listeners, try Audible.com now and get your first 30 days of Audible Listener Gold Membership plan free. And get a free audiobook. Choose from over 100,000 titles. To get this great deal, go to audibledeals.com. That's audibledeals.com.
Hi, this is Marcy Davis and my service dog, Whistle, and we're your hosts of Working Like Dogs on Pet Life Radio. Working Like Dogs is the show where you can learn everything you've ever wanted to know about working animals or working dogs. Whether you're a member of a working dog team, or you've just seen a working dog or animal out at the mall or the grocery store, and you're curious about how these amazing animals work with their human partners, then Working Like Dogs is the show for you. Join us for the inside scoop at Working Like Dogs on PetLifeRadio.com.
Let's talk pets.
Let's talk pets.
On Pet Life Radio.
Pet Life Radio.
PetLifeRadio.com.
Welcome back to Animaltopia on Pet Life Radio. Next up, we're going to shine the spotlight on an organization that is providing incredible dogs for those who need them to do what many of us take for granted. If you ask me, everyone could benefit from the companionship and love of a dog. Then there are those who really need the love, the dedication, and the abilities of a special dog so that they can live their lives. These people and the dogs that serve them have found an incredible support system and lifeline from the folks at Dogs for the Deaf. This organization's mission is to rescue and professionally train dogs to help people and enhance their lives. Also maintaining a lifelong commitment to all the dogs they rescue and all of the people they serve. Dogs for the Deaf is a nonprofit for impact organization that was founded in 1977 by the late Roy G. Cabot. Roy worked with exotic and domestic animals for movies and television and also had a small traveling circus. After retiring in Southern Oregon, he was contacted by the American Humane Association and their headquarters in Denver, Colorado. A deaf woman in Minnesota had had a dog that had trained itself to let her know when things were going on. As she lost more and more hearing, the dog alerted her to more and more things. Then, after her dog died, the woman realized how much she had come to depend on the dog and began a search for someone to train a new dog for her. The American Humane Association began some experimental work trying to train dogs to help people who were deaf, and they wanted Roy's advice. After spending 2 weeks in Denver, Roy came back to Oregon and began Dogs for the Deaf. Dogs for the Deaf was first housed in Jacksonville, Oregon, but has since then moved to their current 40-acre site at the base of Lower Table Rock in Central Point, Oregon. Roy would be very proud of where the organization is today. Dogs for the Deaf strives to rescue and train dogs to assist people with hearing loss, autism, panic and anxiety issues, and other challenges. Every dog has value, and all people should have the opportunity to feel safe and independent, regardless of their physical or sensory challenges. To that end, each dog that comes to Dogs for Deaf meets basic characteristics needed for helping people with a variety of their needs. Dogs for the Deaf is responsive to the changing needs and challenges of both the clients and their dogs, and commits ongoing support for the life of every dog and person partnership they form. The needs and abilities of the applicants and dogs are carefully matched and tracked to assure they receive maximum benefit from each other. The standards of excellence in training and placing these dogs exceeds the Assistance Dogs International standards. And as Vaughn Maurice, the general manager of Dogs for the Deaf, explained to us, it is a long process that is followed up with an even longer commitment to both the people and the animals.
Our trainers go to many, many different shelters, and they look for dogs that they think will be able to make it through the training of one of our programs. The main thing that they're looking for is confidence. They want a dog that has a lot of self-confidence. They want a dog that can stay focused. If a trainer is looking at a dog, they'll take them out into the play yard and show them a tennis ball and hide that tennis ball and hide some other tennis balls as well, but with the primary ball being the target that the dog is supposed to go after. And if he forgets about the other stuff and focuses on that ball, we kind of know he's a pretty good focusing kind of dog, he or she, and may do well in training. Once the trainers have a good feel for a dog, they'll bring them back here to Dogs for the Deaf, and they'll go into our quarantine unit for a couple of weeks first and make sure they're up to date on shots, all that good stuff. And then they begin training. Training will last anywhere from about 4 months to 6 months, and it's rather strenuous. It's quite the process. As our dogs become, say, certified hearing dogs, for example, they are then given a public access rights. So a person can bring that dog anywhere that they may go, such as a restaurant or movie theater or anything, and the dog is welcome to come in as well. Because of that, there's a really high training standard and testing standard. As a result of that, unfortunately, about 70% of our dogs that we take into training are unable to complete training. Those dogs that we call doggy school dropouts, those dogs that do drop out of the training program at Dogs for the Deaf, we act just as a no-kill humane society does, and we take responsibility for that dog for the rest of that animal's life and find a suitable good home for adoption for that animal. The dogs that do complete training and finish the testing, our trainers then go to the home of the recipient, regardless of where that person may be. If we fly from Oregon, anywhere in the U.S., some places in Canada that we've gone, we've even had a placement in Puerto Rico. And the trainer will go and then work with the client and the dog together as a team and give the client some pointers on how to keep up training. It's not like we can just train the dog and then all of a sudden training stops and the reward system stops and the dog is good for life. That's not really how it works. The client also has to learn some rudimentary skills to be able to keep the animal focused. And we monitor the client and the dog for the rest of their partnership for the life of the animal. And once the animal passes on, usually we do another animal to that same client. We've had some clients that have had as many as 4 dogs in our 35-year history, which is quite impressive.
Dogs for the Deaf has many wonderful stories about the dogs and the people they have helped throughout the years. Each story is as special and heartwarming as the dogs and people they detail. Still, I asked Vaughn to share one particular story with everyone. This is the story of a special dog making a big difference in the lives of everyone it encounters on a daily basis. That dog is Nelson, whose intuition and abilities are giving some wonderful special needs children the attention and care they need.
Nelson is a wonderful, beautiful black Labrador, and Nelson originally was bred as a guide dog from the guide dog folks, but unfortunately he had a bad trachea and was unable to work out in their program. So the folks at the guide dog program contacted Dogs for the Deaf and asked if we could train Nelson as a hearing assistance dog, and we brought in Nelson. And Nelson is a very, very intelligent dog, and we made the decision to make him a program assistance dog and trained him to basically go into a classroom of special needs students. He actually works for the teacher, and as these students are distracted or not paying attention or doing something they shouldn't do, Nelson goes over to them and gently nudges them with his nose. And he does this all on his own. The teacher doesn't need to ask Nelson to do something. He's been trained very well to be able to act on his own. The students can also earn Nelson time. If they do finish up a lesson, do something really good in class, they can earn 5 minutes or so alone with Nelson as a reward. And it's been just a wonderful benefit to the classroom. It's really super cool to see Nelson in action. He's also really worked as an ambassador of that classroom for the rest of the school. And now, rather than the students in the special needs class being shunned by the general population or ignored by the general population in the school, because of Nelson, they're much more accepted. So it's really a great benefit for the children that are in Nelson's class.
From the beginning, Dogs for the Deaf has maintained a commitment to every dog rescued from the shelter and to every person it has helped. Dogs for the Deaf is there for the life of the team, providing guidance and helping to make sure every team is receiving maximum benefit from each other. Dogs for the Deaf has produced great results for many animals and humans over their 35-year existence, and there are plenty of stories to bring you to tears and plenty to warm your heart. Just knowing that these dogs may have otherwise been put down is a testament in itself to the wonderful work Dogs for the Deaf is doing. Add to that the big differences in the lives of those people who receive these dogs, and it's truly a great, successful program. We wish Dogs for the Deaf continued success as they celebrate their 35 years of saving dogs and enriching lives. For more information on Dogs for the Deaf, you can visit their website at dogsforthedeaf.org. I want to thank everyone who helped with this episode, and I hope that you will share the stories about the Star Eco Station, Justin Hill, and the wonderful organization and people from Dogs for the Deaf. If you have an idea for our show, a suggestion for a topic, or a story of your own, please call and share your idea on our Animaltopia hotline at 855-264-6258. Or 855 Animaltopians. You can also reach us on Facebook and Twitter for Animaltopia, Pet Life Radio, and all of those who make this show possible. I'm your host, Robert Semro, saying I'm proud to be an Animaltopian, and I look forward to sharing more stories with you soon.
Let's Talk Pets, every week on demand, only on PetLifeRadio.com.